Chapter 3. Weaving in and out of traffic, Sarah zipped back to the 19th, resisting the impulse to pull a wheelie at the intersection of Lexington and Vine. She zipped into the motor pool cage and worked the bike into the odd triangle between the loading dock and the rear entrance. Hers was the only motorcycle. Someone had planted a rubber Godzilla on her desk with a word balloon. The balloon said in crude block lettering, "Pezzini can handle werewolves and mummies, but is she ready for Godzilla?" Sarah couldn't help it if she was a weird magnet. She hadn't chosen the Witchblade. It had chosen her. Speaking of which, the thing had receded to a costume bracelet, an Art Deco band of silver enclosing what appeared to be a large garnet. You'd never guess it could expand in a nanosecond to enclose her entire body. Sarah grabbed the Godzilla. It was superglued to the desk. "Very funny, guys," she said, getting a good, two-handed grip. The two other detectives in the room buried their noses in their work. With an unpleasant sucking noise that reminded her of Bachman's arm, she pulled the atomic dinosaur loose and set it aside. She opened her backpack and set out the plastic envelopes filled with receipts, notations, and the Rolodex. Sitting, she pulled her dog-eared Manhattan phone book out of her lower desk drawer and thumbed through until she found Panther Security. She dialed the number. "Welcome, and thank you for calling Panther Security," a hearty male voice boomed. "Please listen carefully to the following menu, and make your selection when you are ready. This call may be monitored for quality purposes." Impatiently, Sarah stabbed zero. A phone rang. A female answered, "Panther Security, this is Doris speaking." Identifying herself, Sarah asked to be put through to a supervisor. Moments later, a male voice answered. "This is Norm Hansen. How can I help you?" Sarah identified herself again. "Mr. Hansen, I'm investigating a homicide that took place at Thaddeus Bachman's antique shop on Worth Street. Do you know it?" "Very well. I installed that setup myself, about 12 years ago. Who died?" "Mr. Bachman was murdered in his shop sometime last night. I'm hoping we can review those security tapes as soon as possible." "They're not stored on premises, are they?" "Nope. Everything's here at Central. We revised the entire system 3 years ago. Completely digital." "How about I messenger those tapes over to you, Mr. Hansen? That would be very helpful." "It's my pleasure, detective. I can't believe someone killed Thaddeus Bachman. He was a real gentleman. Give me the address and a phone number." Siri came out of his office, unlit cigar in his mouth like an unexploded bomb. No one had ever seen him smoke one. In fact, no one had associated Siri with tobacco in any way until the city council passed an ordinance forbidding smoking in public buildings. "Where are we?" Siri grumbled. "Thaddeus Bachman, a noted antiques dealer, head lopped off with a single blow. Maybe by a samurai sword." Siri worked the cigar like a six-speed transmission. "A samurai killer, huh? Well, why not? With you, it couldn't be an ordinary homicide. This case was assigned to me on a random basis, Joe. But we may have caught a break. Panther Security's sending over the tapes. We may have caught the killer on tape." The cigar downshifted into four. "Ha, we should be so lucky. Keep me posted. Don't talk to the press. You leave that to me." He turned to go. "Hey, Joe." He paused. "Any idea who owns that Suzuki Hayabusa in the vehicle pool?" "What is that?" "Some kind of car. It's a motorcycle. Might be that new guy Sharp, from the Bay Area. Started this week." Siri picked up the Godzilla. "Nice." He stumped back to his cave. Sarah began with the Rolodex. There were over 100 names, which she removed one by one and placed in three stacks: unlikelies, possibles, and likelies. The unlikely pile quickly grew with service firms, auction houses, the deceased, etc. The possibles included a long list of clients about which Sarah knew little or nothing. There were no candidates for the likely pile. Her telephone buzzed. "Detective Pezzini. Sarah, it's Ben Weisskopf." It grooved her off track. While on the job, she had a cop frame of mind. Ben Weisskopf was the retired accountant who lived across the hall from her in Brooklyn. She took a minute to shift gears. "Ben, what's up?" "Sarah, I hate to bother you, it's not even your problem. It's those kids, those Puerto Rican kids who hang out on the front stoop. They're charging us a dollar to get in or out of our own homes. Mildred Gribble can't afford to go shopping." "Ben, that's terrible. I had no idea. Did you phone the Brooklyn PD?" Yeah, phoned Emma a bunch of times. Every time I phone, they send a cop car to cruise slowly by the building. Once, that had a big effect. They scatter like flies and 5 minutes later they're back. How about I phone them? I might be able to get some different results.
Yeah, sure, that would be a big help, Weisskopf said dispiritedly.
Well Ben, what do you expect me to do? I'm on duty in Manhattan, not Brooklyn. Let me talk to them. I'm sure we can do something. People shouldn't have to live in fear in their own houses.
Weisskopf thanked her and hung up. He did not sound optimistic. They weren't best friends, but they were closer than most apartment dwellers.
Ben looked after Sarah's cat when she was out of town. She had brought him groceries when he had the flu. He helped her with her taxes, not that there was much to it. Weisskopf was retired, a widower, with grown children, a son in Florida, a daughter in California. A bike messenger appeared at the end of the bullpen on the other side of the rail, carrying his thick tired mountain bike over one shoulder. In blue and black spandex, gloves, and helmet, he looked like a participant in some new wave extreme sport.
Jan Pooley, the office secretary, pointed at Sarah and held the swinging wooden gate open for the messenger, who headed her way with a brown paper-wrapped package under one arm.
Detective Pezzini? That's me. I have a delivery for you from Panther Security. Sign here please. She signed the form and took the package, which was sealed with scotch tape. When she opened it, there were three videocassettes inside, each labeled Bachman Galleries with the time indicated. The three tapes were for the hours from 6 p.m. Tuesday to noon Wednesday, encompassing the period during which Bachman was last seen alive, and when he was discovered. This was going to take some time. The only videocassette machine on the floor was in Siri's office, and she could hardly commandeer that for 18 hours. Nor could she watch the tapes straight through. The smart thing would be to divvy them up among the detectives. She badly wanted to watch them all herself, to be the one who saw the killer first. But she knew she could use help. When she looked at her watch, she saw it was 20 minutes past quitting time. Sarah took the cassettes, knocked on Siri's door and went in. He didn't look up.
What?
These are the videotapes from Bachman's shop. Can you get someone to watch these? Someone we can trust? Siri glanced at his watch in annoyance. He was making notes on a legal pad, sheer torture for him. Like most bureaucrats, he was at war with the English language.
I'll ask Raj when he comes in.
Go on, get out of here. Go home and relax. I'll see you tomorrow. One more task. She phoned the Brooklyn 16th Precinct Division, 8 blocks from where she lived. She spoke to a desk sergeant named Hannity who promised that he would step up the patrols in her neighborhood. She thanked him, hung up, and methodically stored her belongings in her leather Skechers backpack. When she went outside, the Hayabusa was back.